Good morning, Jean-Jacques Cornish, with the Africa Report, live from our nation's capital in Pretoria, in the metro of Tshwane. Hope you've been well, JJ.
Bonjour, Lester. I've been enormously well, but it's kind of you to ask, nonetheless.
I must always ask, JJ. Let's start with Portugal's President de Sousa. He's been castigated by elements in his country for saying that Lisbon should pay for its part in the transatlantic slave trade.
We've just had the 50th anniversary. Gosh, that ages me. You know, I was a reporter operating assiduously at the time of that revolution, the Carnation Revolution, that ended the years under Antonio Salazar and Marcelo Caetano, from 1932 until 1974. The years of the military rule, what did they call it? The Novo, Estado Novo, or something like that. And then came the African colonies that were immediately thereafter, including Mozambique and others. But now, celebrating this, tens of thousands of people marched through the streets of Lisbon, and de Sousa made the statement saying that we must accept full responsibility for the movement of slaves. You know, when I was looking that up, they said millions of slaves were moved from Africa, most of them to Brazil to work on the plantations. And then, of course, the cost of colonialism, which, you know, people get angry with the ANC for saying that they're still paying for it and for the apartheid. But when you go to the Congo and you see what has happened there and you realize that you pay for it for decades later, but the government itself has said we have no intention of paying reparations. The former party of de Sousa is saying they have rejected what he said, but certainly the far right Chega party has called what he has said a betrayal of the people and the history of Portugal, and they've called for Parliament to condemn him. But it's very interesting that this debate should rise, and it has in many other countries, and it certainly should persist, because I do believe many countries still have to pay reparations. I believe that.
And then a new look at peacekeeping here on the African continent, with the United Nations paying and Africa providing troops and operational direction.
Not entirely new. You know, when we did have, for example, UNAMID, the United Nations African mission in Darfur, and God knows they could use another one like that at the moment. Things are looking very rough in Darfur. But this is the resolution, Security Council Resolution 2719, and it makes these peace operations more sustainable. You know, there are fewer and fewer countries giving soldiers for peacekeeping operations, but Africa continues to do this. Of course, Africa takes up more than 75% of the AU, of the United Nations peacekeeping budget. So this is really important, but, you know, this. Some success in these joint operations, but it effectively enhances Africa's leadership in managing operations, which become more sustainable and effective with the money from the United Nations. So, you know, this has taken 15 years of negotiations, and it's all about that, you know, the African maxim of African solutions to African problems, but these are African solutions financed by the United Nations, a good thing. But what they would look for to do this would be host government support. The whole political process should be moving towards peace. Regional consensus, the neighbors should be happy with it, and popular support within the country. So this is going to change peacekeeping as we know it. And since Africa, as I say, takes the lion's share of peacekeeping operations, I think this is a very good thing.
And then finally, France's President Macron, he's urged Rwanda to stop supporting M23 rebels in Congo, and it's in Congo where South Africa has deployed about 2,000 SANDF troops as peacekeepers.
Yes, indeed. And those under African Union budget, hopefully in the fullness of time, that will become a United Nations operation. But still, we would have South Africans there. Felix Tshisekedi, the DRC president, was in Paris when Emmanuel Macron made this statement or made this call. And you know, they blamed Rwanda for this renewed rebellion of the M23 that had it had been dormant for about 2 or 3 years. These are M23 are effectively Tutsi rebels who fled and took up in the Congo. But in the interim, since overnight, the M23 have taken Rubaya in the DRC, and that is a very important coltan mine. Coltan, of course, being a vital ingredient or vital component of cell phones and electric car vehicles. So, and 60% of coltan in the world comes from the DRC. So it's an important thing. They have in the past, 2 years ago, I was looking, they'd said they'd controlled Rubaya, but didn't then. So I don't know if this case they really do, or they're just saying it, but it's something that the international community is going to have to look to. Certainly you and I, who spend far too much time on our phones, will be implicated.
Jean-Jacques Cornish, a pleasure as always. Looking forward to chatting to you next week with the Africa Report.